Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chef.
Yeah.
Cabin. Tie.
Woo!
Connecticut.
Took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? Good morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Brunch. I'm your host, TP Timeless. It's already crazy. It's already that get your coffee, your water, and everything to get your day started. An upset has already gone down, and this wasn't even the topic that I was going to start with, but it may have to happen. I have some brothers with me, and they are here in select parts of the country. We have the central area. We have the mountain area, and the mountain area, thank God you are here, bro. So I'm going to do that and get him in here. First and foremost, calling out of the mountain region of the United States of America, a co-host here, The Brunch, Big Easy, a.k.a. Eric Gross. Welcome to The Brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Good morning, my brother. I am feeling great. Happy to be here at the kitchen with you, as always. Looking forward to today's show. Let's get it.
And calling out of the central area of the United States, we have Michael H. in the building. Mike, how are you doing? Welcome to The Brunch.
I'm good, man. How about yourself? Good morning. Always happy to jump on with you guys and get it this morning.
I was doing okay until I got some, you know, well, I was made aware of a situation this morning that just happened a little while ago, and I wasn't going to start here. I was going to, like, mix it up in between the bunch, but now it's like this is forefront stuff because of what just happened. So Team USA loses the opener in the Olympics to France, 83-76, and I feel like this conversation can get heavy because right now not only have I been talking about one individual, but I feel very passionate about talking about him at this point in time. But they lose the game 83-76. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of the score or statistic-wise, but what did you guys take from the loss and moving forward with Team USA? I'll start with you first, Eric. I'll get you in here and then go to Mike next.
Yeah, it's kind of disheartening, man. With the players we have out there, you know, we should be top-notch. You know, it's not like the dream teams we've had in past, but we got some superstars on that team, and we're losing to a team like France. I mean, come on, really? So I really hope they rebound from this and get it together, because it's kind of embarrassing, to tell you the truth, in my eyes. Like, you got to be kidding me. We lost to France, and it started off in the exhibition, you know. First time in history we lose the first two games, so it's like, well, you know, I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's some rust, or, you know, from leftover from the NBA season. It was a fast season, but these guys are professionals, and you know, they're in tip-top shape. So you know, I don't know what's going on, man, but I hope it gets ironed out here very soon.
Okay, and Mike, your thoughts on the game or what you've seen or heard went down in the game, you know, concerns moving forward. Mike, are you there? Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah, so I think really what we got, I looked at this bracket and I was like, this is the toughest game that they have in that pool play. I mean, it's definitely a little disheartening. I'm not, I didn't necessarily expect them to lose this game. I'm not surprised by the way they looked in the exhibition round. However, I mean, you could lose this first game and still win gold. I mean, they have a couple other teams in their bracket that they're supposed to beat. You know, you look at the format of this tournament, this first week is only eliminating four teams out of the tournament. And so it's not like all is lost from this loss, though it is a little disheartening right now to drop this game. So they're going to have to get together and play much better basketball in order to be able to medal for sure. I did not see the stats on the game, though. I checked out a little bit of it here and there this morning. It was a game that I was a little bit concerned with going in. So we'll see what happens moving forward. They got two other games in that pool. They play Wednesday and they play again on Saturday. Obviously, they got to win those two games to make sure they have a seat at the table next week in the single elimination medal rounds.
Okay, so this is one thing that I'm going to talk about. It's actually two individuals. One you won't even see. He's like the Wizard of Oz, I'm guessing. And the other one you do see on the floor, right? They are not even players. So one guy's name is Jerry Colangelo. I don't know if you guys are aware of him, but I'm fully aware of him and know what he does for Team USA and what he does for the NBA also. He is the one that constructed this roster. And looking at how it was constructed earlier this summer, I was saying that I don't think that we will win gold. Just because the big was Kevin Love, Draymond Green, if you want to say that. KD is the tallest one. The rest was a bunch of small forwards and guards. So you're going to war with a bunch of people from outside the country where they focus on trying to have big men in the game regardless. They're going to play the European rules where they can snatch shots off the rim and goaltend. You know, like they're ready for that. The USA was not ready for that. Colangelo, I feel like, just put this together as patchwork and thought a bunch of big-name players could just go out there and score 120 a game. Which should be doable, but the way that they're constructed, these guys are all three-point shooters. They are all ball dominant. So they're all going to want situations where they're going to be in ISO situations, right? So then the other guy that you see is Greg Popovich. Now, Greg Popovich is a guy that I've been talking about for quite some time. Both of you know that I've been talking about him, saying that this may be his potential last season coaching. And they go to him to coach the Team USA and not right this wrong for them to lose by seven, right? They lost by seven, right? They went out on a 16-2 run to win this game. 16-2. So that means it's a 14-point differential. That means at one point they were up seven to close the game. To close the game, this is messy, Coach Pop. Now, the crazy part about it is Pop teaches ball movement, right? If you watch the system of the San Antonio Spurs, they move the heck out the ball, like hit guys when they're basically in the corner or on the wing, nice shots, or they get it in the paint off of, like, ball movement or screen and roll or pick and roll, how they operate can feed the paint because they don't have a Tim Duncan because they would just, you know, speed the interior, you know, how they need to get the ball to Tim if he was down there. But there's different situations for a system. If you watch these guys play ball, they are basically playing street ball with the ball moving like weave almost material. And then as soon as KD gets a shot to open that thing up, he can. KD had 10 points. This is the guy that they're looking to lead them on this path to a gold medal. I don't think that they'll medal. I don't think that they'll meddle. France came off with that type of game. There's a guy on Team France that they know very well that almost scored 30 points. Almost scored 30. Pop, I know that you're a great coach, but this is a situation where you got to look at it like Bill Belichick and stop one of their strongest assets. Like, you got to take that away from them. And didn't. Evan Fournier is a guard that people are saying that he might not have a place in the NBA because they just don't know where his fit is. And he lit every last one of them up for 28 points. That is a head-scratcher in which
That's bad. Guys
are better than this in the USA. But in Tokyo, you guys are letting people score because you guys play passive defense. Pop, if you can't corral the situation, like I said, they will not meddle. I do not agree with what's going on right here out there on the floor. These players are a bunch of stars or superstars or all-stars that I don't think that they're concerned on being here in Tokyo. I really feel like they're ready to go home, like already, with all of the scares and everything. There's no way that these guys should check out. They bring in JaVale McGee to be another big to help KD out. These guys are getting in foul trouble. You got a bunch of guards. You had switches where Drew Holiday just got there. Drew Holiday just got there, and he's ending up on Rudy Gobert. They got beat by rebounds. I had the margin in front of me. I'm going to get the numbers soon. But they got beat on the glass, too. Like, you have to win some edge. Some edge has to go your favor. It can't just be, oh, let's launch a bunch of threes and catch these guys. No, that's not going to work anymore. You guys are no longer the bully on the block, and the game has definitely turned international to where you got to come out here and compete at all facets of the game. It can't be, oh, KD, just shoot two six threes and hit four of them, we're back in the game. No, that's not it. That's not it. And plus, KD's 32 going on 33. How much longer do you think he's prime KD? I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about
any facilitators. They don't have any facilitators. They just got these. They got first point guards. They don't have anybody to settle them down and run systems and make sure that they're all on the same page.
And right.
You bring up a valid point, and I wanted to throw this around the kitchen because I was wondering that same thing too. It's kind of like they don't even want to be there. You know, we opened things up here in the U.S. You know, things were calming down. We had fans coming back to the game, and we know how important that is to these players. You know, playing without fans was hard. That's why they do this. And then now they're in a situation, a lockdown situation in Tokyo, no fans. So I'm wondering, just like you are they're, I don't think their heart's in it. You know, it's like, why even be here if all this is going on?
So that's another thing, like with everything going on around health-wise with the pandemic still at large and knowing that they're challenging, you know, players to make sure that, or athletes, let me say it correctly, not just the players, but the athletes that are out there, for them, all of the training that they've done to get to this point, you know, if they should be there or not, you know, due to the nature of not taking a vaccine and things of that nature. So, I mean, that may be something that they think about, you know, but to me, I feel like at least the starting five of the USA could get you, I want to be fair with a number, I want to say like 14 apiece. I want to be fair. That's fair? Like 28, 56. You know, 70, that's about 70 points from the five, right? And they lost 83 to 76. They only scored six on top of the 70 that I'm giving them, right? So, one, I mean, I'm not buying this. Like, I get it that you're one of the better coaches in the league, but you, to me, I feel like you're checking out. I feel like you're almost done with everything that you've done in basketball. You should have given this to a younger coach that's more hungry and could get these guys geared up. This is embarrassing with the names for namesake. Like on Team France, like Gobert is an awesome defensive player. Evan Fournier is a guy that they're looking to move again from Boston because he doesn't fit. Fournier is on a team that they're not even looking to start him. This is embarrassing for you to have Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, like to France. Like this is absurd. Y'all already lost to Nigeria and Australia. This team is not suited to play ball with anybody across the board. They may lose the next game. I want to see who the next matchup is and see how they pan out. This is disgusting basketball. I'm not content with seeing this.
I think it's Iran on Wednesday.
Name the team again, please. I'm sorry.
I think it's Iran on Wednesday.
If they lose to Iran, you'll send them home. Send them home. Let's get them out of there.
Agreed, 100%.
And I don't know. I don't even know what the spread will be. I know the spread will be something crazy, but it's like I want to go with Iran. Because now this is the real punch in the NBA face, and I'm sending the punch. This is what you get when you play passive defense. When you guys are letting people do what they want, you letting these guys get open jump shots and like, yo, just hope he missed. It's a 50-50 shot. Like no, don't. This took the whole fundamental and the draw out of basketball. This is the era of age right now. Like, they're going to watch these scores go crazy. Like, y'all need to learn defense, man. There's no reason to play defense in the fourth quarter when you're down with, like, 3 minutes left and hoping that they miss shots and you can run down and try to launch threes to cut the lead to six and stuff. Like, no. Supposed to handily, soundly do this. Like, I miss Chuck Daly. Rest in peace. Like, Chuck Daly wasn't trying to watch Michael Jordan and Magic and them go crazy. I mean, lose crazy. Like, they was beating and goaling them by 79 points. Don't get up. Stay on the floor. You stay on the floor like that. This is absurd. I want to hear what Coach Popovich got to say, because now it's not like he can joke like this is the Spurs and he's addressing the media, because if so, then you know what to do with him after the USA run is done. Like, don't cross that bridge and let him finish his career how he needs to finish his career in San Antonio. I'm not buying what's going on here.
And to your point, Time, we have to understand, too, as a country, like, once we put that dream team out there in 92, like, from that point on, like, we got a target on our back, like, because we're supposed to be the gold standard for this sport. And so we are going to get everybody's best game. And we gotta come prepared. We can't just think they're gonna roll the balls out there and we're gonna find a way to win. That we got a target on our back. We gotta play like it.
I really wonder how it gets outside of Iran, because I really feel like that, and I'm looking past. I'm doing this. I really feel like USA is gonna bounce back from this loss and beat Iran. And I don't know if it's gonna be a crazy beatdown. I don't know if they win by more than 10 or make it a tight game. I feel like they should beat Iran. I'm going to say it like that. They should beat Iran. And I want to see the next name that they come up against. There's a lot of countries that have the same potential as France. There's a lot of countries that have the same potential as Australia. I'm not even going to give this team credit. A lot of people gave Nigeria credit when they beat the USA, but Nigeria got pounded by Australia. I'm not thrilled with Nigeria winning that game. If the USA team is that bad that they lose to a team like Nigeria – and come around in the opener not being focused and lose to a team called France, and France really doesn't have the players or star quality power that the USA has, and not to take anything away from Rudy Gobert or Evan Fournier, respectively, but it's like, come on, you guys are loaded too. You guys are loaded. There's no excuse. Colangelo, I put all of this at your feet. Forget a lot of it. All of this is at your feet. I know you could care less because you count billions of dollars. And Popovich, I don't know what you're going to do about trying to corral this, because your system isn't with them. Your system is with San Antonio. So it's kind of almost looking like a street ball game while these guys are USA players. Like, you're not going to get that offensive output out of, like, Jeremy Grant, Draymond Green. Just to try to name a few off the top of my head, like, you're not going to get that 10 or 12 point effort. You're going to get these guys that play their roles. But I don't think Team USA was ever like that. Team USA has always been players that can actually get you a bucket if they need to, or whenever they got the ball, it's like the other team is on watch. Like, everybody that gets the ball, Draymond is looking to pass. Jeremy Grant is looking to play defense or finish with a dunk. Like, no, I'm not thrilled by this by any means. I'm not. Is there anything else that you guys would like to talk about regarding this, or we can move away from it? Because this is definitely frustrating to see and hear and watch this go down today on a Sunday morning.
No, just real quick. So the U.S. plays Wednesday, and they play their last game in their pool on Saturday. And then four teams total will be eliminated.
and 8 out of the 12 will be in the medal rounds next week. So that's the way that it's formatted.
I would be stunned if they lose to Iran. Or not even if they just beat Iran and they lose Saturday and get sent home. Like, that'd just be incredible. That'd be incredible. Then it'll start, that'll open up the can of worms on a lot of the players that are out there. Like I'm not content with these guys, to be honest. Okay, so we're gonna move on, right? Get into some bigger fish to fry, if you will. Now, in the NFL, there's a lot of camps that are opening on this weekend here. A little bit happened earlier before the weekend started. Some camps are opening up as of tomorrow and Tuesday. There is one specific camp that I feel like I have my eyes on and everybody else in America should be watching, and that is the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers' two biggest players on that roster, one is a megastar, one is a superstar. I can't even take it away from him. That both are disgruntled and are making a huge storm out of Wisconsin. Now, one, in Las Vegas, the odds have come down because someone, I'm not even going to hide this anymore, Aaron Rodgers is set to retire this coming week. They are saying Aaron Rodgers is set to retire this coming week. He turned down the contract for the extension to make him the richest player in the NFL. He said that it's not money, that he wants help, and you could tell he means it now if he's really set to retire. Devontae Adams, his biggest target, his biggest threat at the wide receiver position, turned down his extension. He's there until 2022, which is the season upcoming. It's looking like he's ready to go as well. So this is getting out of hand in Green Bay, where everything was peaches and cream for the past 4 years. They've been to the NFC Championship, if I'm not mistaken, right? This is a team that's not really helped Aaron Rodgers. I mean, by the grace of God, like, the talent that this guy possesses, is like, if he did get another weapon, it's like, geez, like, he probably would have another Super Bowl or something. I got to give Rodgers credit. As much as he's in my division, I don't want to see him be successful, but I know the reason why I don't want him to be successful, because I'm always going against him. But the dude is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I can't take that away from him. But for him to consistently come up short, and he's doing everything he can, like, he has to have some legs to stand on. I want to see how you guys feel about this situation, especially with the potential of Aaron Rodgers retiring. I'll start with you first, Mike. The news in Wisconsin definitely is shaking up the NFL right now.
It definitely is, man. And, you know, I kind of wondered in the offseason how much of it was just noise and how much of it was just smoke and mirrors, you know. It wouldn't be the first time that we've seen a player retire with still a lot in the tank because he's not happy with what his team has done. I knew that it made a lot of waves and really made him mad when they drafted, you know, Jordan Love, when they had some good receivers still out there on the board. I'm just wondering why management didn't do everything that they could to get this man the help he needs. I mean, like you said, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, you're supposed to try to get as much talent around him as you can and win. And you're sitting here worried about the future, going and getting a quarterback like Jordan Love, who, I mean, hey, they might have to find out sooner than they expected how good the guy really is. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, obviously we know what his talent level is, and I just don't understand why this organization hasn't done more to try to give him a better supporting cast. He's been crying for another receiver for a while.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on what has been mentioned by myself and Mike? You've seen him, 2 years ago in the NFC Championship and slowed him down and watch him lose in an NFC Championship and at the doorstep of a Super Bowl. If they're ready for the Jordan Love project right now, I mean, your thoughts on what's going on in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, I mean, I don't know where you want to start, but we could go.
Yeah, no doubt, Timeless. And we've touched on the Packers needing, you know, Aaron Rodgers needing help for a few years now. This team could have had a dynasty, a legitimate dynasty. They were dominating with what they had, but they cannot get over the hump when it came playoff time. And they both have an interesting story on their Instagram. It's the Last Dance. They got Jordan and Pippen. And is this the hint that they are going to go out for one more year and then call it quits? Or is it the time now that they have already played their last game in Green Bay? So that's going to be interesting to see. Green Bay is going to be in some trouble here. They're losing two of their best players. Whether it's going to be this year or next year, we'll find out more on the 28th when their training camp starts. But, Green Bay blew it. They should have. This is Aaron Rodgers is arguably one of the best players in all of football, not just in the quarterback position. So you kind of want to tailor to, you know, let your stars, like a lot of these other players have, let them have input what goes on. And like you just touched on, they're drafting Jordan Love when they had some quality receivers and some defenders left on the board when that happened. So it's head-scratching to me. Green Bay, I think they the owner, or not the owner, their fans, but the GM they have in place just is kind of riding on the legacy of the Green Bay Packers. And it's not going to work out that way, losing Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. The Green Bay Packers are going to go through some very hard times. I don't know if Jordan Love is the answer. I'm just going to say it right now. I don't think Jordan Love is going to amount to much in the NFL. Watching a lot of film on him, we got a lot of these players we all know in college, especially the quarterback position, notorious. These guys have great college careers, and they go to the NFL and completely flop. And he's going to be under tremendous pressure in Green Bay, having to replace a guy like Aaron Rodgers and being on one of the legendary football franchises. And I just think he's not up to the challenge.
This is incredible about Green Bay. And I, being the fan of sport that I am, I kind of see this happening like I've seen it happen in front of me from a different sport, but I understand what's going on. This is the same situation that I've watched with the Seattle Supersonics and the Oklahoma City Thunder combined. Get rid of players that they don't appease, you know, or, you know, make it difficult for the player. I think the one player that they did accommodate was Reggie White when they got him there. But for them to watch Brett Favre leave and want to force him to retire, and he still gave the league more years after he retired, and it was him and the GM Thompson going at it, and they were trying to give him $25 million a year to retire. This is the same organization that turns around years later and tries to make Aaron Rodgers the richest player in the NFL, but locking him in so he doesn't get more talent. And this is what he's talking to you about, and you're not listening to him. This is the same situation that these hungry GMs just want to have that secure star power so they can fill seats. That's all they want. Because if I'm not mistaken, the community of Green Bay owns the team, so it's not really like the ownership gets a lot of that money, or I don't know how it all breaks down, but, you know, they're doing the best that they can because this is a product that is international. It's not just, you know, within Wisconsin or within the United States. You know, some people have purchased a Rodgers jersey or a Cheesehead somewhere across the globe, like, because that's something that they can get into. You know what I'm saying? If Aaron Rodgers leaves, you know how much of that culture is gone? You guys are watching that happen right in front of your eyes. You guys waited till training camp gets ready to start to watch him not report. And then if he doesn't report, are you going to start finding him? Because if you start finding him, you know how much money he made upon this point right now? It's like he'll be content to leave football. And now you got him in a situation where he's actually set to retire this week. This is unheard of. Like, two of the biggest names in football, with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, disgruntled upon leaving or being with the organization, you know, and they're making qualms about it. Like, so this is very interesting. Like me, the fan, me being a Lion fan, is like, yes, get these guys to calm their fire, because the Packers have definitely been atop the NFC North
for quite some time. Either they'll win it or they're in the top two discussion. Even if they're under 500 for a little bit, Rodgers has some type of gun on him, and he'll lay people down. So it's like, hey, if they're going to mess this up, then let them do this themselves. They're going to continue to shoot themselves in the foot, thinking that they're the smartest guy in the room. And that's the mentality that crushes a lot of these managements and front offices. So, yeah, like, and then especially looking at Davante Adams, this guy has a connection with Aaron Rodgers. They have chemistry. You're going to watch not only Aaron Rodgers leave, but your biggest target, Davante Adams, is definitely disgusted because he wants help probably too. I think that he would love to get more attention away from him. And knowing that Aaron Rodgers is about to leave, Davante Adams is young enough to go to another team and cause mayhem somewhere else. And when they play the Packers, you know he's going to try and go off in Green Bay. So, like, this is stunning that this is happening to the Packers, title town, however they call it up there. Like, it's amazing that this is going on in Green Bay. And, hell, if you want, I mean, I'll trade y'all Jared Goff for Aaron Rodgers. We could do it. Like, that's fine. So we could package a deal at Goff and, you know, a bunch of picks on to get Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Come on. We could do it. We could do it right now. Set it up. Send them down. They could be in the division, and we could sit around and beat up on the Packers all day long. Like, I would love it. If that's what you want to do, then we could do it. But somebody's going to either get lucky if he doesn't retire and Rodgers end up going somewhere else. And yeah, I think they want to try to defuse the bomb before this goes into August, which August is only a week away. But this is definitely interesting which way they may potentially go.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say another thing real quick, Timeless. This is going to turn in to it's not as bad, but it could get to the point like the Houston Texans. Nobody's going to want to come to the Green Bay Packers. They see how things are run there, and they see how they treat their superstars. This is going to be a problem for them in the future because unless they draft someone, they're not going to get any key free agents. They're not going to want to have anything to do with going to Green Bay.
Not until they change their front office or until there's sweeping changes at the top of the organization.
Yeah, but, like, how? How would they change their front office? Because Thompson's no longer there either. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that happened, what was that? Brett Favre was let go, like, in the 06 season, 07? I'm thinking that's when he went to the Jets right there?
Yeah, it was around there, yeah.
So, like, he's been gone since, like, you know, well, around that era. So it's still that same mindset. Like, they rather choose their mentality over what the product is out there on the field, which is successful. For the past four seasons, they've had double-digit win seasons and not have enough to win. Like, now to play the devil's advocate, how much of this goes on Rodgers' shoulders? Like, Rodgers has actually been in a situation last year where he could have won the game up against Tampa Bay. He didn't run the ball to the pylon or, you know, get into the end zone, and they kicked the field goal. And I don't know if this is a situation where him and LaFleur don't have a connection. Like, how much do you look at this like this? Or when they lost to San Francisco, and I think this was the biggest one because he's from the Bay Area, watching San Francisco pummel them on the ground, and he couldn't get back into that game and just being disgruntled. And just watching him be, you know, unsuccessful when he's one of the top two, three, five quarterbacks in the league. Like, how do we look at this being partially or, if any, blame on Aaron Rodgers? Just to play defense, though.
I think that in some ways.
Yes, I can, Timeless.
Yeah,
okay.
I think in some ways you look at this and, I mean, yeah, maybe some of it falls on him, but it once again goes back to, like, he's been asking them for another weapon. He's been asking for something to take some of his attention away from Adams a little bit to give him even more room to go off. Like, you know, that team has really backed that second receiver for a while. They've had a few different guys on the roster in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the other cat there. They've had a couple other guys, but nobody has been able to really step up and take that spot, right? So, I mean, yeah, we can look at it and say some of it's on Rodgers, and we can also say that, you know,
Rodgers was a beneficiary of it when they did it to Favre several years ago. But at the same time, like, I don't feel like this team has really they know they got one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best players in the league, captain the ship. I feel like in some ways maybe they've kind of taken that for granted because you just look at their last few drafts and they haven't really tried to do a whole lot to really help him.
And I think for like namesake, that's what hurts the Green Bay Packers is because they have talent year after year, but not those knock dead, you know, targets that he would want. I mean, Davante Adams is one. I can't take that away from Davante Adams. Lazar is a 6'5" target that has decent speed to be his size, but he's not one to brag about bringing home. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, but he can change the game if he gets better. Valdez Scantling is a good speed receiver on the outside that can play big, but I feel like he wants to get back to the driver Jones. You know, Nelson Cobb era, like they haven't been there in a decade of having that type of tandem there. Like he has that one receiver that all those defenses know they got to stop Davante Adams. Like you continually hear Rodgers to Adams. Like when does this change or how do they set this up to be in front of Aaron Rodgers or make this better? But I don't know how much they can because I really feel like the damage is complete. Forget the damage is done. If he ends up pulling the trigger on this retirement this week, this will be thrilling or not even thrilling, like amazing or stunning or like I don't want to say like amazing in a good way. Like I'm totally at a wow moment. Calling from upstate New York, we have James Greenwood in the building. James, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, Ty. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on what's going on in Wisconsin as the discussion is gone. I don't know how much of it you heard, but your thoughts on what's going on.
So, I mean, here's kind of the thing. Like, they've never paid Aaron Rodgers any deference whatsoever when it comes to, like, personnel decisions, right? And like, the crazy thing is if you, like, make this comparison to the Cincinnati Bengals did with Joe Burrow, who was a rookie last year, hasn't proven anything, and said, hey, and then they went to him and said, hey, who do you want? Do you want Sewell or do you want Ja'Marr Chase? And they let him essentially make the decision. Meanwhile, they're telling Aaron Rodgers, we run the front office and you have nothing to do with it. So I can, like, this isn't, you know, some third string quarterback somewhere. This is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, just like you said. And honestly, it could even be in, like, the top three, really. Like, so when it's all about a standard set by the rest of the league. Like, if no other team in the league was giving their quarterback deference as to who they want on their roster or who they want to throw to or anything like that, or even, like, hey, we're just going to give you help, then Aaron wouldn't have a leg to stand up. But the rest of the league is doing this for their star quarterbacks. And why is Aaron Rodgers getting this? And then on top of that, like, he proved it wasn't about the money. He, like, they offered him a contract making him the highest paid quarterback in the league. Highest paid. No number two, highest paid player in the league as well. So highest paid quarterback and player in the league. And he turned it down. He said no. So this isn't just about the money, although if they stack enough of it on the table, Aaron's probably going to take it. But yeah, so it's time for this divorce to happen. And for the fans in the NFC North, this makes a major power shift, which is going to be really interesting to see next year. Because if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay to anywhere outside the division, then the whole division is wide open. I would even see a path to victory for the Detroit Lions if that's the case.
You can leave my organization alone, please. Please leave my organization alone.
I'm just saying they have a shot if Aaron Rodgers is out of Green Bay. I'm not saying they're the favorite by any chance, but they would have a shot.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll leave that to me. Don't you worry about them. Leave that to me.
And that's your team. I don't want anything to do with
it. That's great.
You'll find a way to screw it up.
I'm glad that we got that beat on now here in Sports City. I'm glad that that has happened. Is there any more talk around Aaron Rodgers? Because there is more news in the NFC North that I do want to talk about that makes it even more interesting within the North that actually adds on to what this guy just mentioned. Okay, the silence helps me. So in the Windy City of Chicago, the Bears just got rid of their receiver, Anthony Miller. Now, this guy is probably one of their best receivers and sent him to Houston. I've been going back and forth with a lot of people from Chicago and knowing that they're Bears fans. Miller is the one that I worry about a lot outside of Robinson. There's definitely a dent in their offense. And depending on how I feel the season may start, I feel like they are going to start Dalton the start of the season. Let him go for the 3 or 4 games that he – if he looks good or not. If he looks bad, then they're going to enter Fields immediately. So this is interesting to see Dalton again with an interesting offense now with less pieces like he had in Dallas, and he did not look good in Dallas. So this is something that he's going to have to either wear a chip on his shoulder or fall flat on his face and see if these guys are ready to play that type of football out there in Chicago. But right now, they just got rid of Anthony Miller, and I feel like this is a huge loss for the production of this offense when he was a big piece for the past 3 or 4 seasons for them. I want to see how you guys feel about it. I don't really see that many receivers that had his type of productivity when he was in the roster. I'll come to you first on this, Eric. Your first thoughts on Miller leaving, being their, I say one of their best receivers, but people may feel differently, especially with a new quarterback and potentially a rookie coming in shortly too.
Well, Timeless, again, this is another organization, the Bears in my eyes, that can't get it right. You know, year after year, and this is another one of those reasons. You get rid of, pretty much your best receiver that you have on the team right now for a second-round pick. It's good for the Texans. I mean, the Texans, we all know what happened there and what's going on there. So they added a nice weapon for Deshaun Watson. So that's going to help them a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, this was head-scratching when I saw this report. Like, are you kidding me? What? And not even for a player that can help them win now. This is a second-round pick. So what are the Bears doing there? I think it's going to go down. Well, we'll see what happens on the 28th or here in the next week when Green Bay's camp starts and we get word from Rodgers. But this division is going to be wide open for the Lions and the Vikings taking. It's no longer going to be the Packers, and it's sure not going to be the Bears doing this like this. So they brought in Fields. That was a good draft pick in my eyes. I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback in this league, but you're getting rid of one of his top weapons right off the bat. So what are the Bears doing? Are they in another rebuild? They've been rebuilding for 25 years in my eyes, so it's kind of head-scratching.
This is like a reality now, like especially like hearing you and James talk about it. It's like it's wide open in the North, and Detroit's been there several times and fighting with Green Bay to actually try to win it, and it'll be week 17. We play Green Bay, and Green Bay will beat the Lions, whether it's in Detroit or in Lambeau. It's like they were setting the Lions up to play Green Bay for week 17 for 4 years straight, and it'll always be something like that, even when Sue and them were here. So now it's like if Rodgers goes, the Bears are weakened, and the team that we really, I feel like, is the stronghold now is Minnesota. Like Minnesota and the one person that I don't like, and you could ask James, I work with him a lot, I don't like Kirk Cousins. And if Kirk Cousins turns into Kirk Cousins, which we see every year, that could be up in the air. Like, this potential that the boys could bring this back to Motown, I would go absolutely insane if they could do this. And the crazy part is watching Goff try to play with a chip on his shoulder where everybody counting him out and saying that this, that, and the third about him. So it's like watching Chicago set this up and not care about what they have in their receiving corps, which it was already questionable. Like, of course, they have players that could play the role or the receiver core, but I don't feel like they're a stronghold within the division as what the way they're set now, you know. And Allen Robinson was already mad, ready to leave. So you something's going on in Chicago. I feel like there's smoke or there's fire. I see smoke happening, especially with Miller out the door. I'm going to come to you, James. Your thoughts of Chicago, especially with Miller departing as of yesterday.
So the Chicago Bears have been trying to trade Miller for months now. Ever since the draft, they've been trying to deal Miller out the door. He's in the last year of his contract, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. It's not the talent that's necessarily a problem. I mean, in six starts that he had last year, he ended up with like 600 yards. So the talent is there. He just has been unable to stay healthy since he's been drafted. I believe it's going on 3 years ago now. So that's kind of the big problem. So good on the Chicago Bears for finally being able to get something out of him, which is something that I wasn't expecting to happen, considering he hasn't played or at least hasn't started a full season since he's been drafted. So if he turns it around and stays healthy for a year, then it's a major steal for the Houston Texans, who I've just seen reports are expecting Deshaun Watson in camp on Monday. They're expecting him there. It doesn't mean he's going to show up, but they are expecting him there on Monday. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes too, because that's another piece that's kind of gotten lost in his off the field drama, is that he started this whole off season saying that he was not interested in going back and playing for the Texans and that he wanted to get out of this organization. It's a high price gamble, but if it works, it's going to be really good for them. I just don't think that it's going to. His injury history has kind of spoken wonders about what it is that he is and is not capable of doing over the course of a full NFL season.
Okay, and Mike, your thoughts on what's going on in the Windy City based on the way that they are constructed now and new quarterbacks coming in, especially with a coach that everybody's on a high watch on if this seat could burn down or not. How do you feel like them producing moving forward?
Well, that's kind of where I'm wondering. I really want to see – I haven't stopped and broken down the Bears' receiving core because, I mean, we know what Allen Robinson is. We know how talented the guy is. I mean, he basically hadn't really had a quarterback the last couple of seasons and has found a way to put up some pretty good numbers. I thought Miller was kind of that key to take some attention away, and I thought he would kind of be a security blanket at times out of the slot for Justin Fields and be big for his development. I mean, I can understand, you know, he hasn't been healthy or been consistent as far as being able to be on the field. When he has been on the field, the production has been there. I get why they're insisting on trying to go with Dalton to start the season. They're trying to allow this guy a chance to really kind of step back and learn a little bit, but I think we're going to see Justin Fields sooner rather than later, and I hope they know what they're doing. I'm not, like I said, I got to, as camps start coming in, I'm going to start digging in and looking and seeing who else they have at this position. You know, maybe they got a guy that we don't know yet is going to be able to make that kind of a difference. On the surface, it looks head scratching, but. You know, what else is at the receiver position, and what can they do with this draft pick to try to continue to help Justin Fields moving forward? You know, I can understand this move by Chicago much more than I can understand what's going on in Wisconsin.
Okay, Eric, I know that there was something that you wanted to mention. Please do so.
Absolutely. And this is another thing with Chicago. Historically, they haven't had good quarterbacks at all. They've had mediocre or less than that. And now they have the potential to find, I mean, they may have their franchise quarterback, and then they get rid of a player like Miller. So it's head-scratching, and to say the least. But one more thing, Timeless, you are going to be very happy. You got a gem in St. Brown. He is a beast. He's going to be a top wide receiver in this league, and him and Goff are going to have a lot of touchdown connections, guaranteed.
And here's the thing with him. Like, he's a young talent, and everybody, to me, spoke about his ability of being a possession receiver. He has quality speed, but I don't expect him to hit the ground running out of college. Like, of course, he's a USC talent at the wide receiver position. We need a possession receiver. The last possession receiver we had was Marvin, and Marvin Jones started to, I don't really want to say slow down, because he still had decent speed, like a high 4.4, like close to 4.5, but he still was in his 4.4s. But he started to get older, and you could see him aging. But I didn't want to lose him the way that the Lions organization lost him. But now it's a situation where they got new pieces, and they're going to have to work with what we got right now. So, and there's a lot of good content coming out of Detroit saying what they've seen so far. I don't want to hang my hat on it, but it just to see it happen, it would just be incredible with the pieces that they do have. And it's all been patchwork, getting Goff from the Rams and getting Williams from the Packers, and then working with St. Brown, and also another Packer, again, Geronimo, out of Green Bay. So they have the pieces, and Tyrell Williams also, too. So this has all been like a patchwork season of trying to get these players to play, because Geronimo didn't play one snap with the Lions last year, but he was on the roster. So it speaks a lot on where the management was with Quinn. It speaks a lot about the coaching ability of Patricia, which I could clown both of them, and I really can air this thing out and do that to both of them, but I won't, because I don't feel like they're both worth the time here. But I just want to see them be productive and see what type of steps they. A lot of people are down about the receiving core and what the Lions could do, but just looking at the way that the Bears have lost Miller right now, and the Packers are losing Rodgers potentially this week, and knowing Devontae Adams might check out because it's going to potentially be a new quarterback, this speaks volumes on which way this thing can go. I do have Aaron in the building. Aaron, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, I'm good, man. I'm good. I ain't got a lot of time, so I'm getting where I fit in. What's going on, gentlemen?
The situation at hand is the Chicago Bears and the loss of Anthony Miller, and how this may be a detriment to their offensive production.
You know, honestly, man, I think the writing was on the wall. I think we was talking off air about this, you know, when Mooney came in there and, you know, kind of blew up like he did. I think the writing was on the wall for his, you know, subsequent release or, you know, whatever the case may be. I actually like the guy. I really wanted him to catch on with the franchise and with the team, with a quarterback who is able to maximize his potential. With the news today that Deshaun Watson is going to report and not hold out, and whatever the case may be, there's a glimmer of hope there that, you know, he and Deshaun Watson can you know, cultivate something, confess to something, you know, before he ultimately gets traded. Because, again, keep in mind, Deshaun Watson has made it abundantly clear that he does want out of Houston. And, you know, we also understand that litigation that's hanging over his head. So there's a lot circling around the Houston Texans, and you add another piece of the puzzle. It's going to be interesting to see how that whole situation pans out. But, you know, it's weird. You know what I'm saying? You got so many mouths to feed there. You know, keep in mind, again, there's a lot of mouths to feed there. You know, Will Fuller's no longer there. So it's going to be interesting to see what pans out. It's really interesting.
Okay, is there anything else around at least the Chicago situation or the potential of can I say that Minnesota is probably the forefront leader right now if Rodgers leaves? Is it that offense with Cook, Thielen and Jefferson, are they the forefront leaders? I mean, and I'm not a Cousins fan by any means. I can't stand this guy, but I think this may be his year to win the division. Unless you feel like he could fall asleep at the wheel.
I'm going to throw a little bit of a wrench in there, if you don't mind, Ty. So I've been doing a lot of looking into this division for an upcoming thing that we are going to be doing. But the one thing that's very apparent about Jared Goff is that when he is actually – and this was actually a report from Pro Football Focus – that when he is able to sit in the pocket and he is not pressured, he's one of, if not the most accurate quarterback in the entire league. So with the acquisition of Penei Sewell, that kind of makes a real strong, solid force around that the front of Jared Goff. So by not worrying about the wide receiver situation nearly as much and keeping the focus on the offensive line, which is against what most experts would dictate, they may actually get a better quarterback out of Jared Goff than people expect.
Is that enough for you to go ahead and put your Lions cap back on or no?
No, I'm done. Just like I said right before you came on, they're going to find a way to mess this up.
Hey, win, lose, or draw, you got to stick with your teams. You know, you got to stay positive about it.
When I find a team, I will be happy to stick with them until it gets to this point. It's been too long. It's been too hurtful. I'm done. Call it. It's Ty's team now.
Imagine this like freeze if you were to leave and we started going crazy, won a division and playoff games. Like, oh man, I would love this.
I would start taking money from other team fans just so I will not become their fan. That's the case. That's how long I've been a Lions fan and how long they have not won.
I hope you're related to the Lane family. I hope somewhere in the Greenwood family that you are related to the Lanes, and it just happens to work in our favor. Like, I'm hoping, like please, like a grandson. I hope that you're a nephew or something. Like I hope y'all got some relation. Like, please, like this might work. Okay. I want to see how you guys we got 30 minutes, but I wanted to get into three of the biggest names in baseball. I don't know how much of that you guys are following, but I'm going to save that. But more camps across the board. I want to see how you guys feel about Dallas being one of the pinpoint teams for Hard Knocks with the potential that they do have there, especially offensively, especially with the comeback of Dak Prescott as well. Is this a favorable situation for them to take? You know, notably, the percentages of teams that go on Hard Knocks does not do well. So I want to see how you guys feel about the Cowboys before I do throw out the names that I have baseball-wise and see how you guys feel about that. I'll go around the kitchen and see how you guys feel about it. Like I said, Hard Knocks will be featuring the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott is making his passes and trying to get out there. Ezekiel Elliott, you see a lot of training and footage on him as well. He's looking like he's in better condition. I think he's definitely fighting for a job before Dallas gets ready to release him, but I don't think they'll release him because I feel like he's a good running back. But, I mean, uphill or downhill for the Cowboys from here? I'll start with you first, Darius.
Honestly, for me, I think that the Dallas Cowboys are in no man's land, if you ask me. You know, and the reason why I say that is – I'm not too sure how many times a franchise can lose a franchise quarterback and be successful. But I saw a lot of bad Zeke from last year. And it's very, very difficult for me, if you will, to get bad Zeke out of my head. So I'm looking forward to his comeback, if you will. It looks like he has been in the gym and, you know, lost a couple weights and put on some muscle, but so has everybody else this off season. So I'm very curious to see what happens with them. They did address their defense, which has honestly been a bugaboo for this team for a significant amount of time. So I'm curious to see how, you know, the first-round draft pick, Michael Parsons from Penn State, you know, goes in there and does work, and the rest of the team that they were able to assemble. I'm not going to give a prediction yet because I'm sure we're going to do a prediction segment, a prediction show, as we, you know, press through August into September. But I do expect big things out of the Dallas Cowboys this season, and it all rests upon the shoulders and the arm of one Dak Prescott. I think he is that good of a quarterback. I think that the Dallas Cowboys made the right decision in securing, you know, him for the long term. And I think he's going to be out to prove that he's worth every penny that he signed for. So I expect the Dallas Cowboys and that offense to do some decent things. And if they're able to get any type of resistance from the defense, this Dallas Cowboy team is going to be a problem in the NFC. I do believe that.
Okay. I'm going to come to you, Mike. Your thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys, especially with them being featured on Hard Knocks and all the adversity they face with a quarterback in Dak Prescott fighting his way back after a severe fracture, and also the looking at the situation they have with Ezekiel Elliott and the money that they have given him. Did he check out, or do you think it's a situation that he'll have a monster season this year, especially with their offensive line coming in healthy? The past couple of seasons, that offensive line has been decimated by injury. How do you feel about the Cowboys moving forward, especially with them being announced a feature for Hard Knocks?
So let's start with that part. So I think that a lot of the reason why you see the numbers of the teams not performing so well that were on Hard Knocks is because all the qualifications that they're looking for in order to put a team on there. They want a team that hasn't, that wasn't in the playoffs the previous season. They want a team that, I mean, so you got some of those pre-qualifiers so that they're not, you know, going with your perennial playoff contenders and that kind of thing. So I'm not surprised that the numbers don't necessarily bear out favorably for teams that have been on the Hard Knocks show. So I'll start there. You know, it's interesting to see as Dak comes back where his health is. I've said in more than one place that even though that defense has got to show some improvement, but if Dak Prescott is healthy, I feel like that they are one of, if not the favorites in that division. I honestly still, right now, I feel like that division can be won by any of those teams because I none of those teams as constructed really, really blow me away as far as like a powerhouse in the NFL. I don't think it'll be as bad of a division record-wise as it was a year ago, but I'm still not expecting, I mean, you can win that division without necessarily being a world beater, I believe. So as far as Zeke goes, you know, that's real interesting to me because, you know, he kind of held out a little bit about, he pushed for that big deal. He played really well, I mean, to deserve a pretty big deal a couple of years ago. But it's almost like he got that deal and got a little bit fat and happy. So, you know, has he put the work in? You know, is he thinking about what's next? If we get a motivated Zeke and a healthy Dak, Dallas is going to be hard to handle in that division. But I think those are two very, very big ifs. When they say if is a big two-letter word sometimes, and I think that's what we're looking at here.
Okay, Eric, your thoughts on this Dallas situation? And the crazy part about this is what Mike brings up about the NFC East, I feel like they should win the East. And I said this last year and the year before that and the year before that, I feel like they're continually going to be the threat in that division. With the way that they're constructed, I feel like the only team that could probably mess with them is the Giants. The football team, their defense is stout. I really feel like their offense has some catching up to do. I don't believe in that offense to win a division again, but they surprised a lot of people last year. But as we know in the NFC East, there's no repeat winners for quite some time now. Can the football team repeat?
Can the Giants make this an interesting run, or does Dallas get back to the top of the division, which I feel like as constructed, they're constructed better than the remainder of the division. And I'm sorry, Philly, to kind of put you in the rear view, but the way that you guys are situated, I don't like you guys to win the NFC East, and I can be wrong.
Yeah, no doubt, Timeless. You know, I really like their wide receiver core they got going on with Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper, of course. Cedric Wilson is also a decent guy to have at your third and fourth receiver position. So they have a really good receiver core, a good running back tandem, Tony Pollard and Big Zeke. But Mike hit the nail on the head here. Is Zeke going to be motivated? Because he did. He got that big money contract, and he did not play like a running back. That shows how his contract is. So that's going to be huge. Dak Prescott, of course, coming back from this injury. But with all that being said, if, you know, it all works out, of course, the Cowboys are definitely going to be come out on top in the East. They got a good defense, too, a really good offensive line led by Tyron Smith and Zach Martin. Two big bruisers, DeMarcus Lawrence and Vanden Esch. So, they have a pretty decent secondary, too. So the Cowboys have put together a nice team, and it just has to translate on to game day. You know, you could be great on paper, but if you don't put it on the field, it doesn't matter. So saying that everything works out for the Cowboys, they're definitely going to be a threat in the NFC.
What was it Kenny Mayne used to say on SportsCenter a while back? Games aren't played on paper; they're played inside TV sets.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, I think we lost Sirius. I was going to get there too. James, your take on the Cowboys? I know we've been going at it for years of talking about these guys, but now this is a very interesting year, where they're trying to come back full circle. Dealing with health has been more of their issue. How do they progressively get better and try to get back to the top of the East and make a push for a run?
So, I mean, there's got to be a point where we all get together and collectively say that the Dallas Cowboys are not as good as they appear to be. And this has been the biggest problem with the Dallas Cowboys since, like, the almost for the entirety of the Dak era. They've tried to run this like half of a football team. They've been completely ignoring their defense for years and years and years, and every once in a while they'll hit a home run with like DeMarcus Lawrence in the fourth round or something. But I mean, to their credit, they did select a cornerback in the first round this year, but they haven't spent any of their financial capital in any of these positions for the entire time, and they're already starting to lose players in the defense anyway. These guys were starters on probably the worst defense. If I were to put a name on my favorite as of now, and this might change when I really start breaking down schedules, but the Washington football team seems to be a team that won the division last year, B, a team that has improved markedly, specifically at the quarterback position. Alex Smith is still looking for a football team to play for right now. Dwayne Haskins is a backup for Pittsburgh. And Tyler Henneke is still on the team but isn't doing anything. And in the meantime, they've gotten, by all extents, probably a mediocre quarterback, but that mediocre quarterback is a significant upgrade to what they had last year. And they're keeping all their best pieces from last year. Terry McLaurin's still on the team, and Antonio Gibson's still on the team. That offensive line that's been performing at a high level is still on the team. And plus, probably one of the better defenses in the NFL is also pretty much stuck together. So we're going to have to, and don't get me wrong, the return of Dak is going to be a huge thing. But if they don't improve on the defensive side of the football, I don't see how the Dallas Cowboys are ever going to become a complete enough team to win the division.
So you're saying as of this season, it's still a threat that they may lose the division if barring injury, which I know this is football, if injuries are going to happen. But you feel like there's no clear-cut path for them to win the NFC East?
No clear-cut path? I'm not going to say that. There are things that can happen and could happen, but if we have the same defensive performance that we had last year, I don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then the crazy part about this draft is they went all defense too. So it's like they tried to focus on it. I got to give like Jerry Jones and the staff credit because you know Jerry Jones pulled the trigger on a lot of this stuff. So it's like they did focus.
But they did that like
defenses.
3 years too late, though. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
no, I get
this
it.
Year
no,
they said
capital,
but
so hopefully at least 2 to 3 out of the 7 that they went with help the impacts toward this season defensively. I'm trying to get a fair number. You know what I'm saying? Not to say like they hit a home run on all of them and they're all going to come out there stout and be Ken Norton Juniors and Charles Haley's and I don't think that Dallas is coming unless they surprise me. Unless they surprise me, I feel like this is an issue. So. But it's one thing about them winning that division because I still feel like that's up for grabs. Danny Dimes is going to have to show me that he can lead, especially with all of the receivers that he has now. There's no excuses now. Now he has a bunch of receivers. It's up to him to, like, make these connections, not fumble the ball, be careful with the ball, and see what the Giants can do. This is an interesting season for them. And the football team, I want to see if Fitzpatrick can actually – make difference, even though he goes to every team every season, he has a good start to the season somehow, some way, and around like week 8, week 9, he starts turning into Fitz Tragic when they start calling him Fitz Magic. So it's like I want to see how this pans out for him. Say that again, I'm sorry?
I was going to say about week 5, man, it starts turning back around on him because he'll start off strong. He'll have like 20 picks and 3 interceptions in 4 games, and then after that, man, the tables flip and it goes the other way around. Oh, and by the way, I didn't know we were calling him Danny Dimes now. He's got that's his name, huh?
Well, that was his nickname. Okay, Daniel Jones. I'm sorry. That his nickname is Danny Dimes.
No,
I don't like him.
I think that.
I try to be funny with it.
No, that's a nice little catchy name. I was giving it props.
No, I didn't make that up. No. I don't want any credit for that at all. No. I've seen that guy when he was in college at Duke. No, I don't want no credit for no Giant player. No. The only one I may give a lot of credit to was Odell Beckham, and what made me laugh the worst is they got mad because he was flashy. They chose to take Eli Manning over Odell, sent Odell somewhere, and Eli said, "You sent my best piece away, I'm retiring." That was absolutely hilarious for the Giants to basically say, you know what, we're going to go with the old veteran who's getting close to 40 in comparison to a top 5, top 10 receiver in the league that is helping your team grow with Saquon Barkley. You get rid of him. You force the whole workload on Saquon Barkley, and then next you know he has a season-ending injury, which I was not wishing for, but I was saying it because they were going to put the workload on a workhorse because he's a workhorse type of running back. So the Giants have to figure out their issues coming up too. I mean, if you guys want, we could continue to talk about the division or teams there. I mean, every last one of you are football guys too, so I want to make sure that I can feed the needy here. James, I'll let you set the table. Well, you are in the state of New York, so if you want to talk about Big Blue and their potential to try and win a division, I mean, with Tony being an added piece, Galladay being an added piece, I'm and putting Sterling Shepard there too. I mean, they have weapons now. Like that's what I'm saying. There's no excuse for at least the production for Joe Judge to get out of this offense.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the thing as far as the New York Giants goes. There wasn't, like, we said the exact same thing last year. Oh, hey, there's no excuse for Danny Dimes now, or Daniel Jones, or whatever it is you want to call him, but there's no excuse. It's do or die now. And all of a sudden, we're back here a year later, kind of like the same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. It seems like things change, but nothing really changes. But I will give Daniel Jones some credit that this past year, he was capable of cutting down the fumbles by like a third. If he can do that again, like that could lead to some significant upticks in New York Giants productivity. But that has always been Daniel Jones' biggest problem, is that the ball security was a major issue. And this is what's caused the New York Giants to continuously lose the division year after year after year. As it doesn't have necessarily a lot to do with his throwing ability nearly as much as it does his ball security. So if he can taper that back a little bit more, and maybe the fact that Kenny Golladay will probably get open a few tenths of a second faster than the number one wide receiver previous, could make a whole lot of difference in his in that area as well. So we're pretty quiet on the Giants, but honestly, there's a path to victory there. I wouldn't call them the favorite by any stretch, but in this division, the worst division in sports, the Giants have a shot.
To your point, James, the one thing that Daniel Jones does well, or I'll go ahead and get my one Danny Dimes reference in for the day, is he throws a good deep ball. That's the one thing that he can do very well right now. And so if you can get Golladay open down the field, like there's some things there. Talking with other Giants fans over the last little bit, the other thing that he has to continue to work on to round out his game, obviously the ball security we're talking about, but also those short intermediate throws and slants, those quick outs, like that accuracy on some of those passes is the other thing that has to continue to round out in his game. But he can make plays with his legs, and he can throw the deep ball. And so those are two good weapons to have, is hopefully you continue to round out your game.
Eric, your thoughts on the division, especially with the Giants, how they're constructed? They actually put some pieces around Daniel Jones, since I'm being picked on by calling him Danny Dimes. But your thoughts on how they could potentially make a threat toward the Cowboys? I feel like they do have the offensive production to make that game and rivalry interesting, but can they win the division, or do you feel like the Cowboys, do you feel like the football team or the Eagles can make this their year?
I think it's the Cowboys to lose, honestly. A lot of it's going to ride on the production of Daniel Jones and if Saquon Barkley can stay healthy. If he can get out there and return to the Saquon of old and Daniel Jones elevates his status, the sky's the limit for the Giants. I do like the team they have. I think they're definitely second favorites in the division. I think Washington, obviously, they can, but I'm not sold on their offense, but they do have one of the best defenses in all of football. And it's pretty much, if the Cowboys don't play good, then it could be a wide open, Jalen Hurd, another one for the Eagles, if he can play good. The Eagles also have a decent team. So nonetheless, it's definitely going to be a tight division all the way, to the end. But I ultimately think it's the Cowboys to lose for sure.
And in time and easy, James, you guys, the other thing that was mentioned right there that I think is key too is the health of Saquon, because just reading over the last week, he's talking about not sure that he's going to be ready yet for week one. So we don't know 100% what that looks like. And I will say that, for the Giants to be able to win this division, at least for a vast majority of this year, they're going to have a healthy and effective Saquon Barkley, right? Like, I agree with Eric. I feel like it's, if everybody's healthy, I feel like it's Dallas' division, but anything can happen for sure.
Yeah, and just to put a stamp on that, the as of right now, there was kind of a big kerfuffle about Saquon Barkley on the Rich Eisen show recently, saying he wasn't going to guarantee that he would be ready for week one, although the timeline is showing that that many experts are claiming that he ought to be, with this timeline and his progress, he ought to be ready for week one. The question is, how many times can Saquon Barkley get injured and still maintain that that ability that he's had as a rookie. That's the other question that we have to really be concerned about is when are these – and they haven't all been the same injury, so that's like – I think that a lot of people mistake that and think that, oh, he's been injured every year. He's obviously injury-prone. He's got a weak part, and he's never going to see his full potential. That's not exactly what's happening. He's just had different injuries every year. And now the question is can he or will he actually stay healthy? Not necessarily can he, if that makes sense.
I'm not even a Giants fan, but I feel bad for Saquon, man. He's going to – the worst part about it is his working mentality. You know what I'm saying? And I know he's fighting like heck to get back there, and when he gets on the field, I wonder what type of, you know, setup they're going to have for him, you know, productivity-wise. Are they going to take less of the responsibility off of him so he can actually be successful and not worry about re-injuring himself? Because, you know, coming back from the injury that he has, everybody's going to be ginger until they get comfortable. It's not going to be like he's going to come out on the field and start blazing again and, you know, going crazy. This is something that he's going to have to get comfortable with and then turn back into himself again. And they got him enough receivers to keep that eight out the box, you know. So I worry about Saquon. I'm not going to lie. I am worried about him because I do respect him as a running back. That's one of my favorite positions in football. And it's just tough, especially with them trying to look for a running back while he's out and all of the attention that they gave him coming from Penn State. So that's something that is that I am concerned about moving forward. And like I said, Daniel Jones, I was going to say Danny Dimes again, but he has pieces. He has great speed. He has great speed to be a quarterback. So when he runs, it's the threat. Like that run that he had in Philadelphia, they said he was running 21 miles an hour at one point. So he has speed. I guess at that tail end of the run, he just was too fast for himself and just fell on his face, and that's probably one of the more funniest plays I've ever seen because there's no way I'm going to have an 80-yard touchdown and just fall for no apparent reason. And I think he dizzied himself on that, to be honest, because he kept looking left and right, and just fell. Like, but that's neither here nor there. So he's a quarterback that can pick up those plays on the ground too. So, like, a lot of this has to come together, like, and I want to be fair. I don't want to say this season, but we're talking about this season. But I feel like a 1 to 3 year range if he could get it done. But if we're talking about this season, like there's a lot of turnaround that needs to happen, especially with the pieces that they have that can make them be able to compete in a wide open division. I really feel like it's wide open. Anything else?
One more thing on the New York Giants before we get away with it from it is that the Giants might be shooting themselves in the foot long term. If Daniel Jones really isn't the guy, they're going to surround him with just enough weapons to get their team to a record that's outside the ability to get a top quarterback in this upcoming draft. Although, I know this is something else that's said every year, but this year's rookie quarterback class is not looking like the rookie quarterback class of this past draft, or even the draft before that, which was significantly weaker. So it's going to be interesting if Daniel Jones plays just enough to play himself out of the position to have to worry about his job, but not well enough to get them into any real contention for a division title. That would be really interesting to see what happens at that point.
Okay, well, we are coming up to the tail end of the show. Thank you for all of you that came in here. I did want to get into the MLB, but I know one of you guys don't watch diamond stuff. But I wanted to talk about Ohtani, Tatis Jr. and Vlad Jr. and see how you guys felt about their run up until this point, the way that these guys are becoming the story of baseball at this point. And it's extremely fascinating to watch them do this. I have not really felt this type of hype around baseball with these three running in comparison to the Mark McGwire, Sosa, and Bonds run. Like these three are bringing that back for baseball. But
sure,
we'll have time all this week to get into these shows and get in and out as best as possible, especially with the cookout coming up and the baseball buffet. You got to tune into the baseball buffet. These guys do good work as well. But, you know, all around the kitchen, we do crazy work. So let me get you guys in and out of here as best as we possibly can. I'll start with you first, Mr. Controversy. Thank you for coming to the brunch. Your closeout, anything that you'd like to promote as we get ready to shut the door here at the brunch?
Well, it's always a good time. I don't believe there's going to be an episode of the Grand Chef this week, but NFL free for all. But next week we will be going over the NFC North. Even if I do have to run that solo, doesn't matter. I will be here next Monday talking about the NFC North. I already started doing the research, as you heard on the show, and I'm going to be pushing this whole division off-season review and maybe a little preview because we're getting into training camp, so I might push a little bit of that, but not too much. Till next week, I'll see you guys later. Peace.
Okay. I'm going to come to you, Mr. Harvey. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the doors here at the Sunday Morning Brunch.
Cool. Thank you, man. Once again, appreciate having me. Always fun to share the stage with you, TP, and Eric as well. And Aaron, I haven't gotten to meet you yet, so enjoyed it, man. As far as just looking forward to continuing to grow and move forward, man. We got the barbershop on Clubhouse. It's timeless and grooves, baby, and it's a fun thing. We're growing really fast. We have to 1.5K followers and doing well. We've got some really good rooms and discussions and sports things there, but all kinds of stuff. So stop by and hang out and enjoy the vibe. And now Clubhouse has changed the platform, so you don't even need an invite anymore. So grab the app and come join us in the barbershop.
Definitely. We also have shirts out there for the barbershop. We also have shirts here for the Sports City Chefs. We have hats. We got fitted hats now. I got a fitted hat coming with Sports City. So stay tuned. I got merchandise. I'm going crazy, moving all over the board, trying to do my best to get both of these babies off the ground. And, you know, all tied into sports and communication with people that know me or love us best. That's the best way I can look at it. But it's, you know, been a good process, man, through the 12 years we've been here and to the 2 or 3 months we've been rocking at the barbershop. It's a blessing, man. I'm thankful. Eric, give me a plug, close out, shout out. I can't lie, bro. The duration of you being gone, I can think about you and your dad, man, and just to see your number today, man. I thank God for you, man. I love you, man. Give me a plug, close out, shout out. Let me shut the doors here on the brunch.
Yes, I love you too, my brother. Appreciate it, and everything worked out by the grace of God. And it's good to be back. Great show tonight. Shout out to this morning. But shout out to each and one of you, my brothers, Mr. Greenwood, Sirius, Mike, Timeless, and everybody all out there that's supporting us, our listeners. And make sure to check out the websites. Get some merch. Get out there and represent. I know I'm getting me a hat, and I'm getting some shirts for me and my fam out here to Colorado to represent. Everybody have a blessed Sunday.
Yo, I'm actually crying for you, man. I miss you, man. I'm not going to lie. You had me thinking about you and your dad, man. I'm not going to lie, man. Somebody that went to war for me in the middle of Vegas, man. So,
yep.
Sports City, tune in, sportscitychef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here at least Wednesday with the cookout. And definitely Thursday with the baseball buffet. A lot of stuff getting down and getting fixed back in here as best as possible. Thankful for everybody that helped me out while I was in the hospital last week as well. So thank you for all your prayers and support also. But one day at a time, we'll get through this. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City Chefs. Chef, Sports City Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Woo! Connecticut.